We're crossing to Phil Whelan in a few minutes just to find out what's going on in Hong Kong and to talk tech. But you said a second ago you want to have a few comments about what Jeremy was saying about tech stuff, about Windows and whatever.
Oh, not so much about Windows. I mean, Windows 7 is a reasonable program. I think it'll take off with time. It certainly won't be the disaster that its predecessor Vista was. So it's here to stay. With any new software, I always say give it 6 months before you put it on, unless you have to. If you have to buy a new computer or something, it's worthwhile to jump straight into it.
But otherwise, open source is free.
Open source is free, exactly. So you can get some great Word programs, Excel, I mean, there are lots of them around. Why go to the expense of buying a full-blown program if you don't need it?
You mean like Google?
Like Google Docs is a great example. Absolutely.
Is it slower because it's online?
No. I mean, again, given you've got reasonable internet access, that would help. If you've got a little mouse running around in the wheel, it's going to take a while for it to come across. But otherwise, I think it is... To all intents and purposes, about 60% of the full-blown Word product, so to speak. And most of us don't even use that sort of capability. We just want it for basic letter writing.
Some people have been experimenting with travelling without their laptops and bringing along with them a smartphone that can access the internet. So they're sticking all their documents onto things like Google Documents and backing it up with some printed copies of stuff that they really, really need. And they think that might be the easy way. I mean, it's definitely easy on your luggage.
It's definitely an easier way to go. There's a great little product that I use called Dropbox, which is free, and it allows you to drop documents from one computer into another one, and you can also have a version of that on your phone. So you can put anything inside of it, a Word document, an Excel, a PDF or whatever, and take it with you wherever you want. So that's a great way to do what you've just said, travel with stuff you need.
I think we've actually got Phil Whelan listening in. Phil.
I am. I'm listening.
Are you eavesdropping again?
Yeah, yes.
Are you a laptop carrier?
Not right now, thank you. I've had all my injections and... What's going on?
Yeah.
What did I just jump into here?
You jumped into the beginning of our tech talk with Morris Misalowski.
G'day, Morris.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, no, how it is.
Tell me Friday. I don't know why I'm getting too excited. I've got to work tomorrow.
Why?
Well, I don't do. You know, just one of those things. The Saturday short straw.
You've got a wonky week. Does that mean you only get one day off, or your week
is
shifted?
Yes, mate. No.
Now, why are you grumpy all the time?
I'm grumpy. You think this is grumpy? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Well, stay out of your way.
Now we should start just since you know it's an international broadcast. Just to let you know what the latest is here in Australia. The latest news we've had the ongoing. We talked about it last week. The asylum seeker impasse with Indonesia. These Sri Lankan asylum seekers on an Australian customs vessel called the Oceanic Viking docked a couple of weeks ago in Indonesia with the asylum seekers to get off in Indonesia, be processed there, and then whatever would happen to them after that would happen. You know what's happened in that case?
No.
Nothing. They're still on the boat. They've been there. In fact, the deadline passed today, so they're still on the boat. They're getting very, very ropey, as you would expect, as everybody is.
What's going to happen then? What do you reckon?
Well, we've got a power broker, a government power broker here, or a former government power broker, who says, look, the only thing Kevin Rudd, the Prime Minister, can do, really, is just bite the bullet and just turn this ship around, bring them to Australia. Just say, okay, I lost, egg on face, I tried to be a tough guy, I tried to be tough on asylum seekers, but no, so bring them back. And it's so interesting that the other side of politics, the more conservative side, totally agreeing with that view. Bring them to Australia. You know, there's no humanity in keeping these people on a boat for 3 weeks, and it's not helping anybody. So just bring them back.
Tough one, this, because you know what's going to happen, of course.
People are going to say he's weak.
They got in, so we want to go.
Well, that's what the fear is supposed to be, but we've also heard over the last couple of days about the relative proportion of asylum seekers that actually come to Australia. It's tiny. It's compared to other countries. Germany, Sweden take so much more than us. But getting to Sweden from Sri Lanka would be a difficulty.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hike, isn't it?
It's a bit of a swim. It's also interesting because we concentrate so much on the boat people, as we should, and the humanity, as you said. But think about all the people who are overstaying their visas in Australia. That's
Phil.
A far greater number than the boat people, and yet we have nothing done about that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a little bugbear you've got going on there. Is that a big problem?
No, not today.
I mean, no, I don't mean you. I mean the the overstaying, blah 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 stuff.
I don't think it is. I don't have an issue at all. In fact, I think we need to have a more humane campaign around bring people into Australia, I think Australia's capable of certainly having a far larger population than we currently have.
I think it is one of those things. Don't touch it, otherwise you'll open a big, huge can of worms.
And that's it. That's exactly
because
it.
A lot of illegal migrants might have a family here. So what you would be forcing to separate are, you know, people who have children who are going to schools locally, for example, who have perhaps an aunt or a sister who's here, and they've been, some of them have been living here for years, and it's really hard to remove them.
You're absolutely right. I don't think we should, but you know, we've got to put some balance into this.
Well, we do. We've actually got a statement by Professor James Hathaway, Dean of Law at the Melbourne Law School, and he's just made this quick statement. He says that the 78 Tamil asylum seekers on the Oceanic Viking may not lawfully refuse a fair resettlement offer from Australia, but they don't necessarily want to refuse a law. You know, they actually want to come to Australia, many of these things. He says if there is a firm guarantee of resettlement, then they basically have to take it. So, but we also had a development a few days ago where some of the asylum seekers admitted they had actually been processed in Indonesia, and they wanted to get out of it. They didn't want to stay in Indonesia. They wanted to come to Australia. So it starts muddying the waters about, are they asylum seekers fleeing persecution, or are they people who are choosing, no, I don't want to stay in Indonesia, I want to come to Australia? And that makes things just a little bit more muddy.
Do you get the real right wingers jumping up and down about, you know, nationalism and all this sort of stuff?
Well, we spoke to, on this program, we spoke to a premier, the only Conservative premier in the country, who you would expect, and he's the premier of Western Australia. These people are coming to the coast of Western Australia. This is his turf.
Yeah.
And he said the best thing to do is to just bring them here.
Yeah, forget about it.
Just do it. I think he's exhausted by the whole thing. He's just saying, let's give up, you know. So that is a really interesting development in this story, but we'll see what happens.
We shall see. I've just found something buried on the second page of our newspaper here. You know, people are talking about swine flu not having very much to do with pigs at all. It's passed from humans to pigs. So pigs have actually got swine flu now, but from
that
humans.
That was the big fear. It was such a funny headline that pigs were afraid of getting swine flu from humans.
From humans.
And how did they know that?
How did the pigs know that? Yeah. They communicated. They told their farmers so.
Uh-huh. Oink.
I've got this image of
all these
border,
little pigs walking around with placards protesting.
That's a bit weird.
Little masks on their snouts.
But didn't you have a story about a cat getting swine flu?
I did. Apparently that cat is doing well. Got on antibiotics and everything. First cat to catch swine flu. That was in Iowa in the United States of America. And the vet that was treating the cat said it's going to be undoubtedly the case that more cats have caught swine flu. It's just a matter of, you know, noticing the symptoms, and it's going to be a problem.
It's brilliant. Well, it's not, but I mean, everybody's getting this thing except the blokes they're named after, you know?
The pigs?
Yeah.
Oh, there were a few of those in Mexico. I thought that's where it started.
Supposedly.
We're not seeing a lot of pigs being quarantined around the place, are we? Interesting story that. Yeah.
That's my contribution for the day, by the way.
So you just sit back, take it easy, have a coffee, light up, and we'll take it from here.
Yeah, thanks.
While we're talking about taking it easy, how about a holiday? I just got an announcement on my iPhone asking about a holiday.
It's a cyber holiday. Go on.
It's almost a cyber holiday. They're taking bookings for the First Orbit Hotel, which is going to launch in 2012.
Tell me more. What's that all about?
Tell me more. Look, if you've got a lazy $4.4 million US, you can go on this
little night.
Oh, no, it's 3 days.
Oh, good. Oh, that's reasonable.
It's only $1.1 million a night.
That's much fairer, really.
That's much fairer. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Where do I sign up?
So $4.4 million for this little three-night sojourn that's leaving in 2012. They claim they have 43 people that have coughed up the money, and they have another 200 people that are interested in it.
Ah.
I've got to tell you guys something here, and I don't know if I should say this, but I'm gonna. So, you know Richard Branson's public in space thing? He's setting up the space traveller thing.
Yep.
And
yep. Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, well, there is somebody who lives here-ish who's apparently going.
Lives here like in Hong Kong RTHK?
No, this is the absolute truth. A lady. And it's very exciting. She's a pilot and she's going to go off to be a Bransonette. And I happened to bump into her husband the other day, and he leaned over and he said, she doesn't know yet that I've only bought her a one-way ticket. I swear he said that to me.
I love it.
Oh, great story. But yeah, think about it. I mean, when we fly in a plane, what do we do, 30,000 feet or something? That is supposed to be fairly close to space anyway, isn't it? We're close-ish. So all you got to do is just say, what the
go
hell, let's just go a bit higher. Yeah, and you can do it on some airlines for $50, you know?
Well, the pod's going to go 450 kilometres or 280 miles up is where the hotel sits. And it's going to travel at 18,640 miles per hour.
Wow. Imagine the swimming pool. The water would just rise.
Isn't it? Well,
it'd be so funky.
The spa would be good, though.
Yeah, it would. Well,
yes, you wouldn't need the bubbles, would you?
Yeah, fair enough.
So there's that piece of useless travel information.
Well, yeah, now I've got a big question, mate. How do you take showers in space?
Very carefully.
Hang on a minute. How fast?
18,000 kilometres an hour?
Yeah, something like 18,640.
How many Machs is that? Speed of sound is about 340 odd metres per second.
Above the Earth and travel 8,640 miles per hour.
Yep. Yeah, how many times speed of sound? Anyway, whatever. I was always rubbish at maths.
John has just put in a comment on the... I don't know if I'll actually say that. You can say it, Morris. No, don't say it. He just made a comment about that very high... No, okay, thank you, John.
Go on.
No.
Is he joining clubs
you'd
again?
Like it.
It's a mile-high club joke, isn't it? Yeah. Go on, you can tell me it is, isn't it?
I was never going to say that. Oh, dear. Hey, Phil, who was the Fortune magazine CEO of the decade?
I don't know. That's what I'm supposed to say, isn't it?
No, go on, take
a... Well, we thought you would know.
Take a stab.
Jobs?
Very good.
You got
you
it right,
that.
Did he?
There's a Chockey Frog waiting for you.
Are you kidding me? Steve Jobs.
Got it again.
I thought it might be the Google guy, actually.
No, it was interesting, because I would have thought the same thing. So Steve Jobs just got the gong. It's an annual thing that's put out by Fortune magazine. And they say that he, in the last 10 years, has had the greatest impact on the world as a CEO.
And you know what? I reckon he has, you know, because he, the iPhone's one thing, but the iTunes store has just changed the way, you know, it's destroyed CDs. There's just so many things. The iPod thing brought the Walkman back again.
And changed the technology so it now moved with you. It was one of those great inventions. But also, don't forget, he had Pixar, which he sold off, and that changed cinema. I mean, that changed that realm. So it wasn't just for his Apple, although certainly it was majority, but it was all the other things he does as well, and his philanthropic work. So he was seen to be the number one. Now, number two was, of course, our Google guys. Larry Page and Sergey Brin were number two. But the reason they didn't get number one, it was said, was because their work was too narrow.
What?
Are you joking?
It was important, and not to be downplayed, but just about
Google
technology.
Google is as wide as a wide thing on a particularly wide day. They're doing everything.
Hey, what can I tell you?
98% of the population use them.
What can I tell you? You know who else made the list? This is really interesting. Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff is our little gentleman in New York who made a lot of money by taking other people's money and not doing much with it.
CEO of the year. What about CRIM of the year?
So he was given the fallen CEO of the decade. You got to love that.
Yeah, you do.
That makes him have something of a trophy in his jail cell.
And the other one I found interesting in that list was Martha Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
She was in the top 10.
What, on the Bernie Madoff list, if you like?
Well, no, that's what I would have thought.
For a greatest comeback.
Yes, and that's exactly it.
Is that right?
That's exactly what it was, for the greatest comeback, the resurrection of the decade.
No. She didn't really go away, did she? I mean, yeah, she got locked up, whatever, what's wrong with that? But she was still omnipresent, even when she was in jail.
Oh, she was. She was all around. I mean, the company was still working, and she's certainly done well of it since, too. She came out with a new television show, written some books since.
Yeah, interesting.
So it hasn't really harmed her reputation.
No, I'm sure it's harmed her psyche somewhat.
Reputation's another thing. Once you've been locked up, it's very difficult to get it back again. People, like we took, you know, Martha Stewart, and instantly it went straight to jail, you know. So, yeah, reputations go, as Phil knows. Now let's talk about eBay starts a fashion magazine.
Yes, now eBay's decided it wants to go up market. And what it's going to do is to put together, as of this month, a new fashion magazine. It'll be a monthly magazine written by some of the best writers and editors in this field. And what they're going to do is look at what's being sold in the way of fashion on eBay and go away and write some stories on it.
I thought people had started sense, you know, doing weird and silly stuff on eBay more than real goodies, you know.
But they're trying to get away from that, because the reality for them is they're not actually making a lot of money out of eBay.
Yeah.
Do you know where their money comes from?
Where?
60% of their income comes from the PayPal.
Oh, really?
From the transactions in PayPal, more than from the eBay site
itself.
Is
that why they have insisted quite a bit that people use PayPal?
Absolutely.
I mean, they have stressed that it is for the protection of the consumer.
And I actually like
that. But it does cost to
these sellers. It does. I like the PayPal system. I think it's, given when it was built and how it was built, there was nothing else before, I think it's actually a very good, fair system. But they do make most of their money out of PayPal. In fact, they see themselves almost as a quasi-bank.
Wow.
That's kind of daft, though, isn't it? I mean...
It's kind of like, yeah.
But we're talking an organisation that where you can put a paperclip on and end up with a house.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, or your identity.
You know? Yes. Yes, they have sold some very strange things over the years.
Well, we spoke to the paperclip guy a couple of years ago. Have you heard that story, Phil? About the man who kept swapping on eBay. He kept swapping a paperclip for a pen. He sold the pen as, you know, as a really great rigid edge item, and then it went to something bigger, and then eventually he got a house out of it. It was extraordinary. He wrote a book, and he made a fortune from the book as well.
And I think there was a movie or a film made, as they do in America.
And that guy's going to have a holiday up in space, apparently, too.
Oh, okay. No, did he barter his way up there?
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, there was another space story yesterday. Apparently, they're testing out... This was a nutty one. They're testing out some space elevator. Did
yes.
you see that one?
Yes. There's
They had that in Bugs Bunny 50 years ago.
I know.
It's been around for a while. If you Google that or go to YouTube, you can actually see a video, a mock-up, obviously, YouTube mock-up of how they think that's going to work. And it sounds strange, but there's some scientists been working on that for quite a while. They think they can actually put an elevator between Earth and space.
Wouldn't you need just a really station. Big seagull to knock it down?
Well, I think so. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But yeah, some guys think that they can make it happen.
Yeah. Amazing. It just reminds me of that, you know, the Romulan thing when they... never mind.
But if you think about it,
time travel exists.
A lot of our technology that's around now really is from the minds of the 1960s, you know, the sci-fi movies that my age watched and earlier, because it's where we began to think about what might be possible. So it's been running around in our head for 20, 30 years. People are actually solving those.
Wasn't there something about a couple of geeks did a beam me up, Scotty type thing with two things, with an object?
Trying.
They tried, and they said, yeah, we did it. Did you actually beam something from one side to another? No, but we proved that in theory it is possible to do because we beamed some air to one part to another, and that was about 10 years ago. We haven't heard anything since. It sounds like a big con to me.
Look, they're working on it. You're talking about the microwaves, and they did claim they did that, but there's a product or a product that they're talking about called Claytronics. Again, Google it or put it onto YouTube and you'll see a video of it where they say that they're working on that, and they're about, well, they claim 5 years. I think they're 15, 20 years away from being able to, almost like a fax machine, move something from one end of the Earth to the other end.
Physically.
So
I can beam you up a
beam me
slice
up, Scotty,
of cake.
Even though it was never said. Absolutely. So Claytronics, so go figure. I mean, I don't know if it'll work, but there are minds and money being put to it.
I'm sure it will. I was just being told about Sydney's old Olympic Village trialling how you can control the heating and air conditioning from your phone.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting. I mean, you can control a computer now from the phone as well.
Absolutely.
So it's just mind-boggling what's ahead.
I've got one question about this. You know, obviously Steve Jobs winning this award and everything fantastic, and you're mentioning iPhones now. How come you have to pay for logical applications that on other systems they put on there anyway? Like your whole schedule coming up for the day or for the week with, you know, on the desktop, if you like.
Don't you get them built into your computer anyway?
No, iPhone.
On the iPhone, you get a basic set of apps.
Okay.
So you get your calendar and bits and pieces. But
yeah, but you've got to go into your calendar to find out. Now, supposing I've got a busy day tomorrow, but I've forgotten that I've got something to do, it won't show me that, tomorrow I've got to do X.
Ah, well, you know what? Yeah. Morris has got the said device in his hand right now, and he's nodding his head.
You are right. I mean, you have to move through from day to day. There's a calendar there, and you can press on it to show.
See, that's really obvious, isn't it, Morris?
It is, and certainly on the old phone, the Windows app phone, it had that. It actually had your appointments for the day, for the week, and you could choose to see them.
You can't do it as a dashboard thing like you can.
Well, you most probably can, as Phil's saying, if you get a widget. I haven't looked for an app, I should say. An app, I should say.
There is a thing. I was looking for it the other day. There is a thing, but it costs a few US dollars. And I'm like, that's something that we need. And how come you've got to download it and pay for it?
Yeah. There are a whole lot of gripes. I mean, my biggest gripe with this is the email. Again, we're talking about the iPhone, is the email where you can't select all your emails to delete them. You have to delete them one by one.
Yeah.
On every other phone I've ever had, it was just a given.
And on that note, live long and prosper. I'll talk to you next week.
Right? Okay, great week later. See you, Philbo. And that's Philbo, and he's got his drum set in there with him. Phil from RTHK in Hong Kong. Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? But I'm sure they'll change it. It's very slow. I mean,
they haven't yet. It's been a complaint for the last couple of years, and they haven't
changed
it yet.
But when they started the iPhone, it didn't have anything. You couldn't do Bluetooth. You couldn't do MMS. You couldn't do any of that stuff. Slowly, they're sort of coming up to date.
But it's quite funny. I was complaining about the iPhone as well. The calculator on it, I thought it was just so basic. There isn't even a percentage thing on it. And I Googled to find out, is there an application that I could download that would be slightly more complicated? Not too, I don't want all the scientific stuff, just a percentage I need. And by accident, I actually flipped it and it gave me all the extra stuff, including the percentage. The screen just went white and here are 10 different items that have just been added to you.
What are you using a calculator for?
Well, when you want to calculate, let's see, if you go shopping and you want to see if they're giving a discount, and you want...
You check the discounts, do you?
I do.
I have my wife for that. She does it instantly.
Yes. Well, some people do it straight in their minds. I'm not smart enough for that, but some people just... I needed to count how much would an item cost, minus 15%, and then minus a $35 voucher, which I think you know what that is if you work at the ABC.
That is so incredibly sad. Well, I just stick it in the basket and go, oh, what the hell? I get into trouble all the
time. It's a man thing to do.
That is exactly what we do. We don't ask for directions either.
Oh, no.
And that's why you've got one of those little directions.
Well, that's right.
Now, this is a very sad day for us. I hope it won't be a sad day for very long, but Sally McMahon, who has been with us since March, this is her last day with us, at least for a little while. Sally, yeah. We're going to miss you.
It's very sad. I'll miss you guys too.
Oh, what are you going to do with the next 3 days before we call you up in an emergency?
Sleep, probably.
Yeah.
Sleep.
I don't think so. You're 21 years old. You went to Melbourne University. You're going to be drunk this
weekend. Yeah, maybe. Maybe tonight at least.
Yeah, okay. All right, Sally, thanks for everything you've done. It's been great.
And
as I say, we'll see you again very soon.
Hopefully,
I think so.
Keeping my fingers crossed to be back here again soon.
All right, thanks, Sally. And a big thank you to Isabel Robinson, who's organised a lot of our stuff this week. You'll be with us for the next few weeks as well. Thanks very much. And thank you to Maurice Misalowski.
You are most welcome.
All right.